Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. August is National Make-A-Will Month, so now it's your turn to take care of your family and assets with an estate plan. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. Welcome to All About Android, episode 381, recorded on Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell, but there is no Ron and no Flo here. They are out. They are missing a joyous occasion. Today's a pretty big day for news, so I brought in not one, but two awesome people to fill their shoes in their absence. They'll be back next week. These two people are, to my right, Miriam Jouar, a.k.a. Tank Girl with no vowels.
Yeah, Tank Girl.
Hey,
Tank Girl.
How's it going, Jason?
Good. It's good to see you again.
You know what's crazy is we have the title of the show in the chat before we started the show. Scroll back a bit. Just have a look.
Oh, I don't have my chat open right now. I need to open it.
Mad Pie Disease.
Mad Pie Disease.
Done.
Maybe we changed the disease part. I don't consider what we're about to talk about a disease.
The mad part that's disease, not the pie part.
Got it. See? I see where you're headed.
Right.
Miriam Jouar, also joining us, the return of Phil Nickinson, a.k.a. Modern Dad. How's it going, Phil?
Hello!
From the hilltops.
How are you guys?
Doing all right, man. It's good to see you. I feel like every time you're on the show, I happen to be out at that point, and so I never get the chance to podcast with you.
It's been a while, and I haven't traveled out to Petaluma in a long time.
We need to make that happen, man.
Yeah, we miss you, Phil. Yeah. Come out here.
You need to leave your smart home, although I guess it's so smart, it's hard to leave it. It doesn't let you
know,
go.
It's summer in Florida, and I now have a pool 10 feet away. So, yeah, I'm never leaving again.
Your home is so smart, it plays guitar, apparently. Look back there.
It does. It does.
Yeah, nice. Nice display wall back there. I like it. I just realized we could do a superhero thing with you guys. We got Tank Girl and Modern Dad on at the same time. We need, Mr. Mobile.
He's next week, I know.
We have all the people with special monikers on the show the next couple of weeks. Yeah, put on a cape. Don't fly anywhere. We need you on this show. We need both of you guys on this show. We've got a lot to talk about. Big news this week, if you hadn't already heard, which I'm pretty sure you probably have. We discussed the official release of Android Pie. That's the thing. We'll talk all about that. What pie?
Just pie.
Just That's pie. Just I thought pie. You were saying this pie, and I was like, whoa, you brought some pie.
Good Only idea. Pie.
I have a theory about the next name.
Oh, well, let's save it. We'll talk about that. Moto Z3 hands-on. We've got Sony Xperia ZX2 Premium, XZ2 Premium.
Wow.
Right here. I'm going to do a little review of that. Turing has a crazy Hubble phone. Have you heard about
this?
Oh,
my God, yes.
It's unbelievable. We're going to talk about that. What it means to skip the Play Store and profit, or I guess we don't know if profit is the next part of that equation, but we'll certainly find out.
Question mark.
Your voicemail and a whole lot more. Real quick, just a reminder, you can subscribe, twit.tv/AAA. Go there, you find all the things that you need to know in order to subscribe to this show. And big thanks. We have a guest in the audience today. Kevin is down here from San Bernardino. Thank you for coming, Kevin. It's great to have you in studio. He's eating a delicious dessert right now that you'll catch at the end of this episode if you're interested.
Tasty.
It's let's not dance around this whole pie thing. Let's get right to the news, Josh, and we'll talk all about it.
I sure hope Android 9 doesn't end up being a pie in the face.
Yeah.
It's Android news.
Good work. Good work. This is the only time that anyone on this show can make that joke because the joke's already been done. Right?
What about pie in the sky?
Pie in the sky. We'll save that for another time. You've fed a good idea into the knowledge here of the show. Android 9 is officially pie. Okay, there's three of us here. Did anyone guess it?
No, I thought it was going to be way more complicated than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
There were so many options for the letter P.
I thought it was potentially an option, but I'm like, come on, that seems pretty tame.
A little too easy.
Phil?
And they like to troll us with the names, right? Usually there's some internal code name that they use that could possibly potentially be the name, but never is. So, yeah, it's Pi. It's just Pi.
And so I'm trying to go back in time here. There was a day a couple of months ago where we officially put our guesses in without much preparation. Otherwise, I think I probably could have come up with a better choice than I did. But let's see here. This was episode 373. Huyen Tu Dao was on. And so all four of us gave our guesses. Ron had parfait. I had pancake. See, I think I could have come up with something better than that. Huyen went with profiterole. Oh, that would have been a really good one. Florence Ion, co-host of this show, had pecan pie.
Yeah, that's
pretty darn close. I think you kind of have it if you go with pecan pie.
She wins.
She wins. She definitely wins between those, but no one guessed just straight up pie.
Yeah, I think we were too focused on a narrow slice.
Yeah.
I did not mean to do that. Jeez. But I'm on top of it.
You know, we don't normally have these kind of puns on shows that Matteo is not on. So I appreciate
Matteo and I are good friends. So there you go. No, but I mean, I think if you look at it, right, like Kit Kat was like, whoa, super narrow, right? Like, yeah. I mean, we're talking about a product brand even here.
Right.
So I'm like, I was kind of thinking more like, you know, like pecan pie, like all that stuff you were saying.
Right.
And not just meh, pie. We're getting lazy.
And even with the code names like oatmeal cookie, you know, we're used to them being a little bit longer. Pie's three letters. Two on the day that, on Pi Day, it's only two letters. And I guarantee you Google's going to make a big deal on Pi Day because it normally does, but it's going to integrate it
now
somehow.
It's going to be even more nerdy than it already was.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Which is Android in a nutshell. So Android Pi is the thing that it is now. Pixel devices can install right away. I've got it on my Pixel 2 XL.
Yeah, I got it this morning.
You got it this morning. Phil, have you had a chance to update to it?
Yeah. I mean, I've been using beta since beta, and the final version came out yesterday and looks and acts exactly the same. So,
so you got the push yesterday. I didn't get it until like this morning at like 11.
Same with me.
I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, and digital well-being is now a thing in beta as like an app add-on. So I played with that a little bit last night and hate it. Can't. Ah, no.
Can't.
It's the middle of the night. Let me use my phone the way God intended.
Well, then you can keep it deactivated.
And
the people that really want it can put it on. Yes, I mean, that is one of the big kind of, well, it's not really a surprise because we knew about it, but that's a new feature that those of us that have been on the betas for months haven't already had access to.
Right.
You know, everything else, it's like, oh, yeah, but we've been seeing this for months now. Digital well-being was something that they announced at Google I.O. They said it was going to, you know, it wasn't going to hit in the beta initially. Now it's kind of out there. Actually, I can show it real quick. Let me make sure I don't have any. Okay, notifications. I got one for my daughter, which is full of emoji. But anyways, okay. So let's see here. Digital well-being. I'll do a search for it. Can't remember where it appears. You can go ahead and show now, Josh. So we'll go settings. Let's see here. Settings, digital well-being. And here it is. I only just activated it like an hour ago. And actually, I signed up for the beta, but I didn't get the reply yet. So I had to go to APK Mirror.
I'm going to try this.
And it was just, you know, on APK Mirror, so you can install it. You can only install this if you are running a Pixel right now, Pixel device, and that Pixel device is on the most recent, the official version of Android Pi. And, of course, this is the app that will do things like wind-down mode where it turns your screen grayscale and it has kind of active controls over the do not disturb function on your phone and what it blocks, you know, from you when that time is hit. I guess for me it starts at 11 and ends at 7 a.m. I'll have to mess with that a little bit. Then it also has the dashboard. If you want to set app timers on any particular apps, you can go in there and say, hey, Twitter, I only want an hour on Twitter a day. And even for me these days, that feels like a lot. But you can go in there and you can set that. And then it will actively prevent you from using that app. Although you can always just go in there and undo it, right?
You could always just not use the app like a grown-up.
I think
that's true, too.
What I always think about the digital well-being is that is really useful is to actually give you quantifiable data about how much you use apps.
Sure.
And because, you know, sometimes, like, I know with my spouse and I, we like point at each other and say, like, you've been using Facebook too much or you've been using Twitter too much or whatever. And, like, now you can actually, like, go, this is how much you've been using Twitter. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's healthy because you can kind of, like, make a conscious effort maybe if you're trying to scale down if you want to. But I think it's a little hypocritical, these kind of features, because it's like the cigarette manufacturers telling you about how dangerous tobacco is. It's like, yeah,
you kind of made it yourself.
I don't know. Like,
you're the reason I'm here. Like, if it wasn't for the work that you've done.
I don't.
Yeah, it's true. Although I really do like this ring. Like, that's actually really cool. It's cool to visualize. Like, I did, you know, a decent amount of driving today. So Android Auto is a nice chunk of that. Headspace in the morning. I do that for like 10 minutes every morning. So that occupies. And then like comparing something like, all right, Headspace compared to Twitter. I'm really happy that Twitter is smaller than Headspace, to be honest. But it's kind of neat to visualize it. You get a true sense of like where your time is being spent in a different way. But there were always third-party apps that could do this, right? This is just Google's official version of that.
So how do you enable it? Because I don't have it in the settings if I search for it. Is it
It's a separate app. Although it's not an app that you get through the Play Store. Is that right, Phil?
No. It's in beta, so it loads just like any other beta app.
Got it.
And goes through the Play Store for that. Yeah.
Yep.
And then once you do that, it doesn't show up as an app on your phone. It just shoves it into the settings where it belongs.
Right. So you won't find it in the app tray, but if you go to your settings, then you do a search after you've kind of put that APK on, then you'll have access to it. And they call it out.
I mean, here, top beta. My question is it going to change your behavior? Because if it doesn't change your behavior, it's fun data, yeah. But I kind of look at it like I track my walk in the morning, if I track my exercise. So, you know, if I forget to, it doesn't change the fact that I still went to the gym, that I still exercised.
Yeah.
I just don't have that data. So unless it actively changes your behavior, I kind of don't care.
Only you can change your behavior. It's like the first step of addiction is to admit you have it, right? Like, I mean, come on.
That's true.
Or my wife and my kids, or, you know, a mean commenter on Twitter. Yeah. Or no, it's up to me. It's up to me.
Absolutely. And really, if you haven't already made that decision for yourself, even if you're using this, it's not like it prevents you from turning it off. Like, you can very easily go back into these settings and go, you know, that app timer that I set on Twitter, I've decided I don't want that anymore, and turn it off. And it's not like it's going to penalize you and turn your phone off.
But if you have parental controls enabled, does it actually enforce these things?
Oh, so
that's a good question.
That's a good question. If this phone was like a parentally enforced or covered device, how would that tie into this? That's a good question.
You know, and you're like on Facebook, and then all of a sudden you're like 10, 9, 8. So, you know, big letters appear on top of the screen.
About to close. Hit send now. Bleak and Chad is saying the installer says it needs Android 9, which is true. So at a minimum, you need the official version of Android Pie and a Pixel in order to even run this right now. And this might just be, once it's out of beta, is it officially just a Pixel app, or is it meant for everyone on Android 9? I don't know. And knowing Google, even if it was isolated to just Pixels, they'd have opened it up eventually. It seems to be what they do over time.
It's their thing.
Yeah, it's their thing.
I thought it looked, like, visually, it looks very Samsung-y.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because we have a voicemail kind of along that topic as well, which we will get to. But yeah, I mean, you know, a big part of Android Pie is this kind of visual refresh to things. If I go into, you know, the settings and everything, things are a lot bubblier.
But Pie's around mostly.
A little more colorful and loose ways. What's that?
Pie's around mostly.
Are
so
they?
Everything
well,
is circles.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I was thinking of slices. You're right. A whole pie is round. That's true.
Generally. I mean,
you can
make a square pie, but...
You could, but that would be weird.
Thank you.
So what are some of the... Hey, this is interesting. Essential is the first non-Google phone, I think in Android history, to get the newest version of a major Android release, Android Pi, on day one. They had an update going to their phone yesterday.
That's because Andy made Android.
Yeah, well,
no doubt.
He probably
created Pi for them.
I doubt he
just
created it.
Just kidding.
Well, and they also have fewer phones than anybody else.
Yeah.
So I keep seeing all these people, oh, it's incredible this little company did it. Well, yeah, they have fewer phones than anybody else.
Like,
they have to manage 10 billion devices it's and like worry about breaking them.
Absolutely.
They have 10 people out there with phones, yeah.
Well, they only have one model to craft.
I'm just the
OS around, and if, so many of the other manufacturers.
Being
quit being mean, Miriam. Essential doesn't deserve your meanness.
That's true. They don't, because you know what? I still think it's one of the nicest phones I've ever held in my hands.
It's a very nice phone. We'll see what they follow it up with. If they follow it up with something, I think they will.
Maybe
but
they'll do
this
what,
is a good sign that they care.
Maybe they'll do
degree.
What Moto did with the Moto Z 2. I mean 3. Sorry,
what's that?
It's pretty much the same as anyway. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Real quick, some of the things to look for, which we've already kind of talked about: gesture navigation, of course. Apparently, on the upcoming Pixel 3, this is going to be the only nav option. That's according to Google, I believe. Get used to their gesture approach. New overview and multitasking view. Those cards are interactive. You can split screen. You can pin. It's just a little different when you get into that multitasking screen. So you kind of, you know, it takes a little bit of getting used to. The notification area, which I am definitely used to my notifications being very noisy up there. And I know that they did it at least partially to make room for notches up top where they kind of have the stuff on one side and the other, and then they trim things down with the little ellipses. That might actually be LastPass, but
it's
they have a little like
there,
ellipses
huh?
up there. And I got to say, it's kind of nice.
I'm
it's nice to have it not
I'm
as noisy.
Cut a piece of tape that looks like a notch and put it in my phone.
And you wouldn't have to, yeah.
That way I will see how much I end up getting in there. How wide the notch has to be.
How wide of a notch can you get away with? They probably have a limit on that. I know they have a limit on the number of notches.
I can't get used to the time being in the wrong place, though.
Really? I'm totally used to it.
Well, because you've been on the beta forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. See, I'm your future right now. You're looking at your future right now when the time being on the left-hand side of the screen doesn't matter.
Actually, you know, a lot of the phones with notches that are not Pixels, like the Honor phones and the P20, Honor 10, P20 Pro, mm-hmm. have the time on the other side. A lot of phones have the time on the other side now.
Yeah, well, I bet you will see more of that.
Yep.
Because, you know, as
because now
seen,
it's Pixel rules.
Now it's Google anointed. What else? I don't know. You've been on the beta for a while, Phil. What are some of your favorite features that you've seen in this new Pi?
It's funny how it all really starts to feel just kind of normal.
Yeah.
After yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here playing with it, and it's like, well, I don't know. the app actions that are when you open the drawers, so you get, you know, two little frequently used things will show there, so I can, you know, very
yes.
quickly open my doorbell camera or, you know, whatever it happens to be. That I think is a very nice one.
That's cool, but I interact with this far less than this down here. And mm-hmm. I keep meaning to at least put a tweet out on this, and I keep forgetting. So instead, I'll put it on a podcast. I've been using this like crazy. I'm not a huge fan of the contextual, like, we know that you're at work, so we're going to give you different icons in different places that match the things you do most while you're at work, or, you know, trying to be too smart about surfacing things in a smart way that an OS or an app thinks I want to use at that particular moment. I just find it too confusing. But I have to say, this little area down here really works in that regard. It knows that when I'm waking up in the morning, like I want, you know, I don't have the Hue app anywhere on my home screen, and I would normally have to go into the app drawer to get to it. But at one point I realized in the morning, it always puts the Hue app down there. And so I'm like, oh, cool. So it's always there. It's obviously not there now. I'm at work. I've got different, you know, things showing down there. And it's not always right, but very often I open that up and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the thing I was looking for. So,
yeah, as long as it works well.
Yeah,
absolutely. The new I think they maybe finally have fixed volume control, because that's always been the one thing, right? Like you go to change the volume on music and whoa, you're changing your ringer.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. And I think they finally got a good handle on that. they got a good handle on switching between vibrate and sound and silent and super easy. Love it.
Isn't there, so there's a shortcut. Power and volume up will call and notifications will vibrate. Call a notification, like how's it changing that? It just changes it directly to vibrate, right? Oh, that's what it does.
Yeah, it's just a toggle. Like,
I don't know if it's a full toggle.
No, it's three settings. It's
no, vibrate. But it only goes to vibrate. When you do that, the only thing it's doing is setting it to vibrate.
Oh,
so
I
it doesn't
see.
Toggle. So that's like your emergency in your pocket. Oh, I'm in the middle of a meeting. I don't want to pull out my phone to set my phone on vibrate. Just do that instead.
So which one is it?
It's a power and volume up. You hold
together,
that.
And what happens? It's vibrating in my hand, but
if you do power and volume down, you take a screenshot. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
There is the whole screenshot integration as well. There we go. You get the edit button kind of integrated in, and it just pops it right into a screenshot editor. That's kind of neat. But yeah, I mean,
does it let you scroll down now?
What do you mean?
Screenshot editor? Like, you know how some phones let you scroll through an entire page?
Mm-mm.
That is one of the nicest features that I wish I had on my Pixel as a native. Is there an actual app for that you can, like, add?
There are apps for that, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like we've had a one or two on the show in the past.
Mine's just
fine. You should really watch the show called All About Android. Anyways, screen rotation is another thing that you'll find in there, kind of a screen rotation lock. Smart lock that appears. Maybe it's not going to do it here. I'm trying to remember how I get that going. Maybe in the Play Store it'll do it. Does it?
Does it see your eyes? Is that how it does it?
Why am I not seeing the rotation button? Well, no, often you'll get a little thing
down there,
where you can lock it in so that, you know, I think the often used example is you're laying down in bed and it keeps rotating on you and you want to lock it in that view so that even though you're holding it, you know, in a way that it would normally rotate, it locks it in. So it has integrations into that, a bunch of work around battery and adaptive brightness, adaptive battery, just using AI in many different ways to analyze how you use your phone and make it better.
Nobody does AI better than Google.
That's true.
So
Google's really good with it.
So just go for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you can. Which you can install it if you haven't had it pushed to your Pixel device yet. You can install it on your own. They've posted all the instructions and files in order to do that. But you'll probably get updated to it.
You know
quickly.
What was weird? I have never had an update come in, like a big update like this, where if I went into the settings and forced a system update, like when check for update, that I would get it. It's always just popped up in my notifications eventually, and then I've updated.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, I woke up, I forced and checked for update, and boom, it showed up.
Yeah,
no, that's a new thing too.
They've actively
changed that a little bit, and it will not troll you nearly as hard.
Okay.
For you when they announced that, but yeah,
I was checking it like every hour the last couple of days because I just had a lot on my plate and I didn't want to if I didn't have to. Pull out the computer, plug it all in, and do the manual approach.
Yeah,
I just wanted it to do it on its own.
It's a pain, right? I mean,
at a certain point today, I would have had to have done that. But at some point, I did the check, and hey, it's ready for you. So I was able to update. So that's Pi. And going forward, Pi is the word. So we're gonna talk a lot about it on the show. I should also mention that Google, of course, does what it always does every single year, and it unveiled the statue at the Googleplex. And there is now an Android figure. What is it? Andy? Is that the name of the Android figure?
Bugdroid.
Sorry? Bugdroid.
Bugdroid.
Why do I not know that?
Bugdroid.
Bugdroid standing next to Cherry Pie.
The only correct pie.
That's a good pie to choose, got to say.
It does look a little cheesier, like a cheese pie, cheesecake. Like, no, I mean, it doesn't look quite as... I don't know. Some of the statues kind of, I feel like, better designed and aesthetically more pleasing. This one looks a little janky.
Yeah, sometimes I realize I'm not in the Android statue design business.
Sometimes
it feels like they're like, I don't know, let's put that thing on the ground and have it stand on top of it or have it
stand
next.
As long as it doesn't melt. You remember when the first Jelly Bean statue melted?
Oh, did it actually melt?
Oh, yeah. It had a clear top on it and it melted.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then what did they replace?
I mean, that's
with?
What jelly beans do, though.
Yep.
Like, if you leave, like, they disintegrate. Yeah. They're like,
well, then they were honest.
They're like highly biodegradable.
Yeah. Then I guess Google was just being honest, all right? Don't at them. And then finally, this isn't really related to Pi necessarily, except that the Pixel 3 will be running Pi. But possibly Google has revealed in some way, shape, or form that the event for the Pixel 3 might actually be on October 4th. Brandon Lee, the host of a show on YouTube called This Is Tech Today, noticed a that name sounds really familiar. Noticed a posting on the FameBit ad platform. Posting was by Google. It says it was looking for Canadian content creators who are willing to switch to the Pixel 3 to create a video that would then be used in the live event that is scheduled for Thursday, October 4th. It's possible this is a trolley thing, but who knows?
Wait. They're really going to do it on the exact same day that they did it last year?
Yes.
That would be strange.
And the year before?
Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Inconceivable.
But, I mean, at some point, October 4th is going to sit on a Saturday or a Sunday, and they're going to have to change it, right? Oh, I guess there are events.
Google. They don't care. Why? Yeah. They'll do it.
None of us have real jobs. We'll go.
That's true. None of you have a choice in the matter. Of course we'll go. All right. So mark that on your calendar. We'll probably see something there. Now, I alluded to a voicemail. We do have a voicemail. Willie, who actually has been sending a lot of voicemails. And it's on autoplay. Those of you watching and listening, if you haven't noticed, if you send a voicemail, your chances of getting on the show are way higher. Willie's figured this out. Willie's got another point to make about Android Pi's UI and some of the competitors out there.
What's going on, All About Android crew? This is Willie from San Antonio. I was calling because as someone who bounces around between a Pixel 2 XL, a Note 8, and an S9 Plus, I have become accustomed to TouchWiz and stock Android. And I got the Android P update today for my Pixel 2 XL. And I don't know if it's just me or not, but they made it look a little more like TouchWiz. Everything from the settings menu itself to the quick settings up top, it just seems a little more TouchWiz-ish to me. And then the whole multitasking window, that looks like the old HTC Sense UI that they used to have where it was big cards. Anyways, just want to get your opinion on what the Android P UI looks like and see if you agree or disagree or think I'm eating some wacky Oreos or something. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Take care. Bye.
Those Oreos are wacky. Yeah.
He's not wrong.
What's that?
He's not wrong. Yeah.
No, I mean, so do we think, so now we're, you know, really starting to kind of see over the last couple of years, Google's kind of modern design approach on Android. Pi has really kind of driven it home that they really like the circles. They like the circular icons. In some cases, they like the circular icons with a little splash of color. I mean, the settings really looks TouchWiz. Like, this is a very TouchWiz setting screen.
The shortcuts, I think there's too much white space. Like,
well, you know, they do a lot of white space now.
Look at that. I mean, it's like, why don't make the icons a little bigger if you're going to have that much white space?
That's true.
Make I mean, bigger. You know, I'm a designer. I can criticize this stuff. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people feel like all that white space is just wasted space, but I guess everybody has a different opinion on that, right?
Like, oh, I know.
Some people it's visually pleasing to have things laid out in a more sparse style, and other people want to maximize their efficiency. You know,
so we've had
throw it all there.
Green as a default highlight color. Remember in the early days of Android, then we went to like an aqua-ish blue with gingerbread. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a kind of bluish blue. What is that blue? That's a normal blue, right?
Yeah, I don't know. They probably have a color name for it. Like they do.
It's interesting how they've got all these different shades of blue.
Yeah. Wasn't blue the honeycomb color?
That's what it was. Yeah.
Hollow. There we go.
Hollow.
All right. I think we've talked enough about Pi, and we will spend another year talking about it. So don't worry. If you feel like you didn't get enough, you're in for a whole year worth of Pi. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we're going to get into some hardware stuff. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. I'm a huge fan of LegalZoom, been using them for years, and it is a fact most Americans do not have a will. 20 years ago, that wasn't a shocking statement. You had to find a trustworthy attorney. You had to pay them by the hour. Nobody wants to do that. And that's just to draft your will. But these days, there's no excuse. LegalZoom has actually made it super easy to create your own. That's why more than a million people have used LegalZoom for their estate planning needs. It's actually what I used LegalZoom for prior to working here at TWiT. So prior to LegalZoom being a sponsor on this network, that's exactly what I used them for. It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com. So now it's your turn to take care of your family and take control of your assets with an estate plan. It starts with a will or a living trust. And if you don't know which one is right for you, because it can be kind of confusing, it's no problem. LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys will advise you on what's best for you and your family. Plus, LegalZoom's not a law firm, so you're not going to pay them those hourly rates like you're used to hearing about or like you've experienced with a law firm or with an attorney. You're not going to have that. Make things a lot easier on your family when you're gone. Check out LegalZoom's last will and living trust estate plans now during National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com and use promo code AAA for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com. Use code AAA for special savings. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. Just go to LegalZoom.com. Promo code AAA for All About Android. There you go. You're welcome. All right. And with that, it's time. We've got a lot in hardware, so let's dive in. There's something on a plate over here that's melting.
Oh,
I'm not going to say any more than that.
It's
a mess.
Flowing down.
Oh,
the
no.
There.
Save the carpet. Save the carpet.
No, it's not on the carpet. It's good.
All right. All right. Miriam.
Yes.
You were in Chicago.
I was in Chicago last week for the Moto Z3 and 5G mod announcement.
What did you think?
I have a lot of mixed feelings. I don't know if have you heard of this podcast called Mobile Tech Podcast?
Yes,
did you listen
I've heard
to
of that.
The last episode?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of ranted with David Kogan, the unlocker, about how conflicted I am about this phone and how this whole 5G thing is a marketing ploy. But it's not a bad thing. Okay, so let me walk you through. The thing about the phone is that in the front, it looks exactly like the Z3 Play that was just launched about a month ago, which, by the way, I reviewed on geekspin.com, if you go there. And in the back, of course, I've got a really nice little Moto mod here, which is just a cover. But in the back, it looks exactly like last year's Z2 Force, because it's exactly the same camera modules as last year's Z2 Force. And that is all kind of interesting, until we got into the event before they gave us the specs and somebody ran CPU-Z and we found out that it has a Snapdragon 835.
Oh.
So at that point, we were like, wait, we're expecting a flagship and you're giving us a Snapdragon 835. And we quickly put together that the front was the same display as the Z3 Play, which is not a Quad HD display, but a 1080p AMOLED, mm-hmm. which all the previous flagship Zs had a Quad HD AMOLED in the front. So interesting. And then we quickly figured out that the camera modules and the rear camera was identical to the Z3.
There we go.
Z2 Force last year.
Motorola is
so puzzling.
Economies of scale, it sounds like.
Yes, but then it kind of all fell together when they finally said, oh, it's $480.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, okay. So it's not a flagship. It's kind of a pseudo flagship, but then the more puzzling started happening. We're like, wait, the Z3 Play is $500. And it's a lesser phone with a Snapdragon 636 with a lesser camera because unlike this, which has a monochrome and a color 12 megapixel,
right.
high pixel size, f over 1.8 or 1.7, I think, camera system, the Z3 Play only has the color lens, and then for the bokeh stuff has like a really cheap 5 megapixel, they don't even call it a lens, they call it a depth sensor. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's purely for portrait.
Right.
Whereas you can do black and white with this camera, it has a native black and white mode. Mm-hmm. So we're like, wait, it's more, the lesser phone is more expensive. Now, it comes with a mod in the box, the lesser phone. So perhaps maybe $50 for the mod. But it just doesn't make sense because the Z Play series has always been kind of like the mid-range phone, and then the Z series has always been the flagship. So we were very utterly confused. And then the other more confusing thing is $480 will almost buy you OnePlus 6.
Mm-hmm.
So why bother?
Because the OnePlus 6 won't have 5G connectivity early next year.
There's more than that because no mods and because you can't use a OnePlus 6 on Verizon. This is a Verizon exclusive.
And that. That's a big reason.
The thing about this phone is that it's Verizon exclusive. You cannot buy on any other networks, you can't buy it unlocked. Whereas Z3 Play, you can buy it unlocked. It's available on Sprint, US Cellular, I think. Anyway, it's just very puzzling. If you look at the phone in a vacuum, it's like, why bother? Because this phone in 6 months is going to have a processor that's year and a half old at this point. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, it's the same usual software you see on a Moto. You know, there's nothing too new and exciting here. Like, it's just the same. The display is really lovely. It's AMOLED 1080p, 6 inches. But that's it. Moto mods, of course, you get the connector down here, right? But I think what redeemed itself a little bit was when they say, but we have a mod, and it's the 5G mod, and it has a 5G radio in it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's more interesting now. But here's the puzzling thing. The 5G mod supposedly only works with this phone. So it might change. Other Motos supported Z phones.
That's different from their strategy, which is our Moto mods are interchangeable.
But they didn't confirm or deny that. They wouldn't commit. They basically said this is the only 5G upgradable phone.
It's also Verizon special.
So I have a feeling that all Moto Zs that work on Verizon were certified by Verizon for Verizon in the future might be upgradable to this Moto Z. This 5G mod. Now, the 5G mod is the same thickness as the phone, which is about 6 millimeters. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty hefty thing. It has a 2,000 milliamp hour battery in the 5G mod, in addition to the 3,000 in there.
Because it requires a lot of power.
Yeah. And this phone has 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage. Yeah, there's my unboxing video. And so, you know, it's basically, I'm calling it the Moto Z2 because last year we got a Z2 Force. And really, this is what the Z2 would have been. The only thing that's like 2018 here is the 18.9 display. And that's 2017, really, when you think about it. Because now we're all about notches, right? Mm-hmm. So now the 5G mod is very interesting because we did a bit of digging. All I want to say we as the tech journalists at the event. And it turns out there is a SIM inside the 5G mod. It's not an eSIM that's soldered on and can be provisioned remotely. It is a physical SIM that cannot be removed by the user. So this is mod is definitely going to be a Verizon-specific thing. The other thing is it doesn't technically on paper, officially, we're not aware of it supporting sub-6 gigahertz 5G. It only supports millimeter wave 5G. And millimeter wave is on Verizon's 28 gigahertz. It's line of sight. If you have leaves in a tree in the way of your signal or even humidity, you lose signal. Okay, we're talking you're only going to get that 5 gigabit maximum sweet spot when you're outside in an urban area with picocells everywhere.
I guess it's better than nothing.
Right. So they have an X50 modem in the 5G mod. If you go to my Insta, to my Twitter, there's a photo, it's a bunch of photos of the 5G mod. So if you look at the 5G mod, it's X50 modem from Qualcomm, which is the 5G modem, which supports millimeter and sub-6. And then it has an X24 modem, which is an LTE 2 megabits per second modem. So the fastest LTE advanced modem you can buy. And when you plop that on the back of the phone, it supersedes all the modems in the phone. So it removes, it like stops using its internal antennas. It just goes through that mod. You see how it has a little fin or a little stub sticking out?
Yeah.
That's because millimeter wave, the array, the front facing one needs to stick out above the display somehow.
No way.
So it, like it sticks up. Yeah. Because it's line of sight. Where are you going to put the
Holy
antenna?
Cow. So then are we going to get used to this as like a design flare?
Well, for 5G actually, I talked about that on my podcast today with Rose Behar, which will be published later this week.
Uh-huh.
Rose of Mobile Syrup, formerly of Mobile Syrup. So the thing is, there's 4 millimeter wave antennas. If you bring me out that photo, you see these kind of weird dents or circles on the edges there and up there. And then there's one where my thumb is roughly. And then there's the fin, the one on the front. If you look at the other pictures, you'll see there's another circle up there on the front. So these are where the millimeter wave arrays. They're not just antennas, they're antenna arrays because they are beamforming antennas that Qualcomm designed. And at any given point in time, one of these 4 antennas will be visible to the cell tower. That's the idea.
Oh,
right?
Man.
So that's how it works. So what we're talking about here is this. is we're talking about the really marketing grabbing rights of being the first.
Yeah, that's
because
all.
Because what we're talking about is really Qualcomm, Moto, and Verizon getting together and saying, now we can say we have the first upgradable phone, the first 5G radio, and the first 5G service in the U.S. early 2019.
Go back and remember who did the first 4G LTE phone too. Verizon. Right.
Verizon. That was right.
And it was the Thunderbolt, but it lasted 2 hours on 4G, remember? So that's why they put a battery in there, a 2,000 milliamp hour battery in the mod, so that when it's in 5G, it doesn't completely kill your phone.
Yeah.
And they said it's more efficient. 5G by design is more efficient than 4G anyway, so it balances out. But what I'm trying to say to you is, it's going to be at least until 2021, until we start seeing more than Verizon with 5G, and also sub-6 gigahertz 5G on Verizon, which is the stuff that penetrates walls unless you actually use the phone properly.
Ugh.
And phones that are fully integrated. Because, okay, have you looked at our phones recently? They have less and less bezels. Mm-hmm. Where do you put that front-facing antenna, guys, for millimeter wave when you have no more bezel? How do you make a phone that's 6 millimeter thin when you have to put that many antennas in the thing?
Well, especially when you consider putting that Moto mod on there, it makes it more than twice as thick.
Exactly.
And big.
So what I'm saying is that we're not going to accept having 5G on our phones if our phones become like ugly ducklings, right?
No.
So I think it's going to take way more than 2019. I think it'll be 2021, 2020 before we start seeing phones that integrate all this nicely. Maybe somebody can make an antenna that can be under the display slightly.
Mm-hmm. But it still has to be line of sight.
Oh, it has to be line of sight for millimeter wave. Yeah.
Okay. So once we get beyond millimeter wave, though,
it's different.
Then this is a transitionary period that is going to be painful for anyone that buys into it.
You still need MIMO, like you still need multiple antennas because, you know, at 6 gigahertz, you're just sub-6. So 5 gigahertz, you know how 5 gigahertz doesn't penetrate as well with Wi-Fi, right? Mm-hmm, that's 2.4. So that's the same problem. You know, ultimately, the higher you go in the spectrum, yes, the faster the data can come to you.
But
of course, you know, the other thing you have to realize is that line of sight can be interrupted a few times and you can still get gigabit performance, right? Because think about this, like if you're downloading a file, like the Game of Thrones episode or whatever, and you cover it like this, continuously cover it, you're still getting enough non-coverage that there's like gigabits of data coming at you in the moments where you're blank, right?
Okay.
So your upload speed is still going to be super high, even though it's constantly interrupted. In the same way as Bluetooth is constantly frequency hopping around Wi-Fi and still works, right?
So even though line of sight is a very significant limitation, it doesn't take much time. Like even in small bits of line of sight, lots of stuff can happen.
Exactly.
Lots of data can be transferred.
Theoretically, in just like a fraction of a second, you can get an entire 20 megapixel image.
Right. Yeah. Well, what did they say? 30 Spotify songs downloaded in like 10 seconds
something like that. Yeah. It's very fast.
Yeah.
So the point is, I want you to understand that all of this is really bragging rights and marketing at
Absolutely.
This point. And I'm not saying that the technical achievement isn't high. I'm not panning Moto and I'm not panning Verizon and I'm not panning Qualcomm for working together and making this happen. Somebody's got to start somewhere. But here's my thing. Before we see integrated phones that are really pleasant, like what we're used to today, before we could get sub-6 and millimeter available on all three of the big networks, right? Because Sprint by then will have been assimilated by somebody, right? Inevitably. Mm-hmm. So T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon. Before we see all this, we're going to need to do a lot more work to integrate this technology. And when we get it, it'll be awesome. And of course, they're going to charge us more for it. And that's the other thing we don't know. We don't know how much that 5G mod is going to cost. And I have a feeling that because it's going to be pretty much locked into Verizon, not only because the SIM isn't removable, but because the bands, we have the problem of bands. Everybody's going to use different bands. Can you imagine how many bands you need to accommodate to have a universal thing? So this is going to be purely a Verizon product. And I think you probably are not even going to buy it. You're going to buy 5G service and they're going to give you the mod. And it's rolled into the price. And the price is crazy. It's going to be expensive. And you get first bragging rights for having 5G when it comes out. And the only phone you can use it on...
I remember having that with the HTC Thunderbolt.
The only phone you can use it on is a Snapdragon 835 1.5 year old phone by then.
Have to imagine by the time that Moto Mod's coming out, that means that the that the network is available. That has to mean that there's other phone options then.
Maybe.
You don't know, but there, I would imagine that there would be something right around
that. And
then
the other question we all asked ourselves was, Moto Mods, they only agreed to support them for 2 years with the two-year mark. I mean, could this be the last Moto Mod? If they make, will they make a flagship Moto phone that costs $800? That works with that Moto Mod that comes out around the same time to make it worth our while? We don't know. Because I honestly wouldn't want to use a Snapdragon 835 in February of 2019. Would you?
Kind of sounding
I mean,
like
no offense, it's a good chip. But by that point, we'll start having Snapdragon 855 devices announced.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know. It's
but this is also this is mid range. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a different scale than
I just think that this event brought up more questions than answers. Every time we tried to get Moto, Verizon, or Qualcomm to answer something, they would kind of, you know, like not really answer.
It's like they wanted everybody to know all about 5G, but they really there were certain things they really didn't want you to know.
And then we would be like, oh, look at each other. Oh my God, I've got more questions. There's a, if you go to my YouTube channel where you found my unboxing video, you don't have to play it now, but there is a video of me interviewing Jeff Snow of Motorola. He's the basically the head of the Moto Z division and the mod stuff. And he, and I asked him some tough questions and it's an interview and, you know, the video is kind of janky because I couldn't see the screen on my camera because it was bright. It was in sunlight. And so just listen to it because otherwise you'll probably get motion sickness from the stabilization. And the, it's kind of like Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
But listen to it because I asked him some tough questions and he did try to answer them. And, you know, it'll give you a real insight on how confusing this event was because we all went in there expecting a flagship and a 5G mod. We knew the 5G mod was going to happen. We knew it wasn't going to be live today, but we figured the phone at least would be something that could be evergreen enough to last into next year. And this is a nice phone. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. In the absolute for $480, Snapdragon 835, it's a nice phone. But you know, the camera, no OIS, like there's a whole bunch of issues here.
We know how you feel about cameras that don't have optical image stabilization. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Steam pouring out of your ears. What do you think, Phil? 5G, long way to go?
It's a really nice advertisement for Verizon and Motorola. But yeah, we all know why that phone was made.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not very, very difficult to figure it out. I felt, at least with the HTC Thunderbolt at the time, like it was a stinker in some ways, but I was proud to have it early on.
I was super excited to get a review.
It was a good phone for like a month. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I mean, very early on, I was so proud to have the HTC Thunderbolt.
The data speeds were pretty impressive with that phone, and that you know, at the time was, we didn't have anything that could touch it.
No, exactly. That's why you got that. Then you dealt with the battery. okay, so I've been playing around with the Sony Xperia XZ2 or XZ2 Premium. I have to keep saying that because so many people would say it that way. And I think in many parts of the world where Sony is predominant, you know what I mean? It's which AKA not really in the US compared to a lot of other places. XZ is what you would say. So Sony Xperia XZ2 Premium. This, and you know, there's just not a whole lot of buzz that I'm catching on this, and maybe it's because I'm locked into the US channels or whatever, but not hearing a lot of people. But it does have some really interesting things, so I'm going to run through this here real quick and let you know what I think after, I don't know, about 2.5-3 weeks of using this device. 5.8-inch 4K HDR display at 765 pixels per inch. So literally, this display is full 4K if you're watching 4K content. And it does the HDR representation. They say it upscales up to 4K on content that is not. It's upscaling, so take from that what you will. But I will say I watched some pretty marvelous stuff in 4K on this thing, and it really does look like, you know, a tiny little window that you're looking through. It's pretty spectacular. Snapdragon 845, 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, a 12-megapixel monochrome and 19-megapixel color sensor on the back. This is the first Sony phone that has the dual cameras on the back. You notice down there also the fingerprint sensor. One complaint that I have is that this is all super like low profile, the whole thing. And so when you're holding the phone, you're trying to find that fingerprint sensor. It's really hard. Like the fingerprint sensor is close enough. There's no like ridge or anything. So you don't know. And even after like 3 weeks of unlocking my phone with a fingerprint sensor, I still was smudging the camera like crazy. Anytime I wanted to take a picture, I'd have to like, you know, bring my shirt up and wipe off the camera because everything was all hazy and whatever. So design wise, that's not my favorite thing in the world. 35-40 milliamp hour battery. There is no Corage port. You have the USB-C on the bottom. Hardware wise, you do have a hardware camera button, so a shutter button on the side, and you know I can hold that down and launch right into the camera and take pictures. Right now it's in video mode, so apparently I'm taking videos. Mm-hmm. Design-wise, you can see, right? Like, it's super curvy, very fingerprinty, but you kind of gotten used to this with a full glass body design. But one thing that I do not like, I feel like this is a lesson we see learned time and time again. All glass devices, if done not right, means that you can't really set them down anywhere lest ye scratch your phone. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, within days, I had these little scratches here because I don't want to set it down on the display because that's going to scratch my display. So I set it down this way. And I mean, I'm talking like in 2 days, I had this huge gouge in the back. I don't know if you can see it right there, but anyways, there's like a little scratch, a couple of scratches right there. And because it's curved, the only surface that touches is that kind of curvy area. So it's really slippery on a table. If the table's not, you know, perfectly level, you just have to be really careful. I'm Butterfingers when it comes to phones. I drop phones all the time. It's become a running joke. I made it all the way until yesterday when finally this damn thing slid out from under me. And thankfully it landed on the corner and all I got was a tiny little scuff there because I was worried. I was like, seriously, I'm going to review this on tomorrow's show and things are going to be cracked all the hell.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, aside from that, like, it is really pretty. It's a little significant and chunky. Like, it's a little wide, but you have that large battery in there, so not a big deal. One thing I thought was interesting is the SD card slot. You don't need a tool for. It's just a little pull-out thing. It has this, like, little lip, and now it's going to power down because things I'm putting in a SIM, which is also in that slot. That's okay. What am I missing here? I already talked a little bit about the 4K HDR capable. It also has this mode called dynamic vibration system, where when you're watching something, and primarily I saw this on YouTube, you can turn that on, and basically it acts, the haptics act as a subwoofer would rattle. That makes sense. Yeah. And I think Flo showed off a gadget a couple of years ago, a watch that you could wear that did this.
Yeah.
And so when you're watching something, it's like shaking in your hand when those low frequencies are passing through. A little weird. I couldn't say that I would watch a full 2-hour movie like that, but I guess it's different and you can't fault them for that. The camera, let's see here. I should get in there. I will go ahead and pull that away and get into the device after boot up. The camera. So Sony's made a really big deal about the camera. Like I said, first Sony with dual cameras on the back. ISO up to 51,200. Which they say is more than any other smartphone. So basically, that means that this phone is spec'd to do really well in low light situations.
How does it do?
I thought it did okay. Yeah. I felt like I should be getting rocking photos in low light situations. And I had to fight really hard. Maybe I was not choosing the right low light situations. What can I say? I was camping. I was at somebody's house for the weekend, you know, things like that. But I really tried to pull it out and see if I took, you know, these challenging pictures with this phone, what I would get. Some of the pictures, like, they look okay when I pulled them up on the desktop, but sometimes they looked a little crunchy. Sometimes I just wasn't super wowed by the camera. And I think Sony really wants everybody to be wowed by the camera. And it should be. The specs are there. I don't know. And it was a little slow. I don't know what to think.
I have this theory that Sony phones don't have technically good cameras, but they don't execute and perform as well as you'd want.
Yeah.
Because they have a camera business.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah. And it seems like phones that get Sony cameras have really good cameras.
I mean, a lot of phones but use Sony sensors, in fact.
Yeah, so, exactly.
The biggest issue I have over the years with various Sony phones has been that they have really good specs, but then again, the results aren't great. And, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but they refuse to put OIS on any of their cameras when, in fact, all their real cameras have some kind of stabilization that's optical, right? So it's like, you know you need to do it, so why aren't you doing it? And it's like, we don't want to cannibalize our business, I think is what it is. And remember at CES, they showed us this phone, MWC, as like, and how amazing the imaging was going to be. And I'm sorry, but you know, take a Pixel 2 XL or a P20 Pro and do low-light photography, and you'll walk all over this thing.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's kind of how I felt too. So that's the camera. I was pretty disappointed with the camera. At the same time, I kind of have to wonder if I'm just not putting it in the right, like, you know, I didn't go downtown clubbing and, you know, take pictures in the dark, you know, club or anything like that. Like, I just don't do that now. Maybe I should have for this review, and that would have been its own interesting experience. But I didn't. Maybe that's what it's designed for. I don't know.
The system
performance-wise, A45 is a rock star, you know, system on a chip right now. 6 gigs of RAM is plenty. I feel like it handled everything I threw at it really well. Slow down a little bit on taking pictures, actually. But I did want to pull this up this screen because it's all white to kind of show you that Sony has chosen with this, their flagship, with their expensive flagship, to go with the design that really harkens to a couple of years ago, right? Like, our eyes are becoming much more used to seeing these bezels shrink. On the Sony phone that's this large to begin with, these large bezels just make it, like, right out of the box, it feels kind of dated.
It's a 69 display.
It's
not 89.
Well, yeah, and you've got just big black.
It's bezel-tastic.
Yeah, it loves its bezels, basically. And I'm not, and I realize, like, that's a very much a, to taste. Some people do not care about that, and I fully respect that. My eyes have gotten
Those
more used to.
Those people live in 2016, okay?
I don't know. I feel like the direction has gone towards minimizing these a little bit, and it feels
iPhone
very
8 users
couple of years
out there.
Ago.
I'm looking at you.
Yeah. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Undoubtedly, some of these features are for somebody, like the 4K display, HDR, some of these, the high ISO camera. This is for somebody, but you're paying $999 for this, a $200 premium over the non-premium version of this phone. So you got to really ask yourself, like, if that someone is you. I'm sure I'm going to hear an email from people who are like, you just don't understand Sony. And I believe me, you guys, I tried. I gave it 3 weeks and I still feel the same. So what is your take, Phil, on Sony? Like, it's kind of become a running thing on this show where we talk a lot about Sony, but we don't experience a lot about Sony because the U.S. just really doesn't have a huge Sony presence. And so for whatever reason, I don't get the chance to do that. What is your take?
I quit caring when I went to like my 17th pre-brief that didn't have a fingerprint sensor.
Oh, yeah.
But only in the US.
Right.
It's nice they bring them over here, but it's a Japanese phone for their Japanese. Well, actually not just Japan, I guess Europe too. But I wish we got more into them here because there's a lot of good stuff there, but there's also been a lot of good stuff missing. So,
yeah. Yeah, I know. The fingerprint sensor for years was not available on Sony phones in the US, and it was very perplexing.
There.
Yeah, it was there on their phones outside of the US.
Yeah, it's on the edges, like the Z3 has it on the edge like that.
Well, yeah, fingerprint sensor is by no means a proprietary security solution. It's on almost all phones. I realize that's kind of changing a little bit with Face ID and whatever, but it's been around for a while, so it's really strange that Sony wasn't able to make it work. And I think that just in the end, you know, that's one example of how Sony's reputation in the US has kind of tarnished itself.
And they never
had
a presence with the carrier, so nobody even knows they make phones here, really.
Yeah. Another big issue, yeah. But there are Sony fans, and I guarantee you, I'm gonna hear from them and say I love my premium, my XZ2 premium, and great.
Speaking of Face ID, have you had a chance, or anybody on the show, to play with the Oppo Find X?
No, so you just did a hands-on on that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, finally. So Michael Fisher, Mr. Mobile, is a good friend, and we were in Chicago together, and he bought one for his channel, and did a hands-on, a full review, actually. And he had it with him, and he said, hey, you want to play with it all afternoon? So I was more excited about that than a Moto Z3 event. That was the same day. So in one pocket, I have the Z3, and the other pocket, I have the Oppo Find X. If you go to my Instagram, at Tankerl, you'll see there's a photo. We went to see a Cubs game at Wrigley Field. From the Moto Box, which was amazing, and I took a photo with it, and the camera is pretty tops. But honestly, the video of just the you know, you've seen it all of you on the show watching this show, I'm sure I've seen millions of videos of the Oppo Find X retracting and expanding. It's it feels really premium. It's so well made. It's
good.
It's
so
reliable. It's
that.
Strong. It's solid. Like, really, I don't think this thing is going to break easily, but it's very subject to like sand, dirt, dust getting
in
there.
That's one of my worries.
And that could certainly jam it, but I don't think it's going to break. Like, I think it's really designed to last a really long time, coming in and out all the time, especially every time you unlock it, right? It does it. But man, this phone is so, the hardware is so tops. Like, I don't think there's better hardware out there.
Nice.
The software is, as Michael said, is a disaster because it's a Chinese phone. It doesn't have westernized software. You can't change the launcher. You know, you have to log into Oppo service to even send text messages. The government is spying on you, etc. You know, so yeah, there's that shot. You can see how great the HDR did with the sunset in the background.
Yeah,
there.
No kidding. You got a lot of
detail
out there.
It's pretty tops. But I don't know, the phone is great, and I just want to bring it up because it's, you know, hopefully I'll make a European or like a rest of the world, rest of Asia, non-Chinese or Indian version that we can import, then I think it'll be worth your while because you'll be able to update the launcher and update the behavior. And then you'll be have a Play services and all the apps. And, you know, it's amazing because the phone is the same size as a Pixel 2 XL and it's all screen. So the real estate you get in that hand is just like, wow, like what do I do with myself? I have more screen than I know what to do with.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like, remember when we went to 18.9, it was just like, wow.
Yeah, right. It took a little getting used to. Speaking of more screen than I know what to do with, that's a perfect segue. Turing is trying the smartphone game again with the Hubble phone. They call it the multidimensional screen approach. In other words, screens that fold out in, let's be honest, weird ways. Three screens in total. So it looks really interesting when it folds out entirely. They say it's meant to enable better multitasking. So you might be working on one screen and then you get a call or you know, I don't even know. And you move, you know, move it onto the other screen that you can also see at the same time. One 4K display. So you know, the Sony phone had a 4K display. This would too. Two full HD displays. So three in total. Two batteries powering these displays, a 3,300 milliamp hour battery and a 2,800 milliamp hour battery. 60 megapixel main camera with variable aperture and 15x optical zoom. Also, three 12 megapixel sensors in other places on the device. Two Snapdragon 855 processors. Apparently, though, the Snapdragon 855 is as yet unannounced.
Yeah, right. It doesn't exist. This is like pipe behind the sky.
Here we go. Running both Selfish OS and Android P, now known as Pi, June 2020-ish for merely $2,750.
Not happening. Turing hasn't shipped anything in years. Their first phone was a disaster. Correct me if I'm wrong, Phil. You might remember better than me. But this thing is just, I mean, it's a great concept. I love it. It's beautiful. It's interesting. It's basically two phones sandwiched together because there's two Snapdragons, two SIM slots, two radios. There's a 5G radio. Like, where are you going to put the antennas for 5G on this thing? It's all metal.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves,
right? It's beautiful pie in the sky. I love it.
Yeah,
see,
I mean,
pie
it
in
is
the sky.
Beautiful.
We found a reason to use
pie
in the sky.
In the sky.
It's right here in this phone.
There
is
we
pie
go.
In the sky.
We have it. All right, so Phil. Well, I doubt any of us have had actual hands-on experience with Turing phones. Maybe you have, but what do you think about Turing's kind of pie in the sky approach?
We lost
Jason.
It.
That was steely.
Jason.
That was
Jason.
Steely eyes. Steely
I'm
eyes.
I'm not getting the last 5 minutes of my life back, am I?
No.
You mean we should not have talked about this pie in the sky idea?
You know, all those specs, and they don't have a minimum viable product. There's
Like, who's it for? Maybe that's a good question to start for, I guess.
It's for the people who made those videos, who made those graphics, who made those spec lists and the Turing website. That's the only... No! No.
Come on. No. We're always asking for innovation, though. This is it. This is different.
Here's something innovative. Make something.
Yes.
Make something people can actually buy.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good, no. good.
I mean, Turing has really not shipped anything. This just, it's crazy. Like, at this point, I think they should just say, yeah, we draw beautiful concept phones. They're cool.
Right.
Like, that's what we do. That's our gig. And we, you know, we have a business doing that, whatever it is.
50 years from now, we're drawing the phones 50 years.
There's not a chance in the world this thing is going to happen.
I hope it does. I just want to see it just one time.
I think somebody should make a mock-up, though, and then render some video on it, you know, like, and make it feel real.
That's what Turing did. That's exactly what they did.
They completely rendered it. I want to see an actual physical mock-up.
Oh, I think internally they're there.
Yeah, they're there.
Yeah, they're okay. They're testing it on 5G right now.
Right.
On Verizon for their upcoming deal with Verizon, because you're going to see this in Verizon.
Exclusive store. Verizon, watch out.
Oh boy. I mean, underwhelming, you know, past history in phones is kind of an understatement. Supposedly this is their last shot at a smartphone, which I'm not surprised. JBL apparently, we've known about this, right? So there was the Lenovo smart display that we showed off last week that everybody was going ape over the last couple of weeks. Now JBL has a smart display launching soon. Google had mentioned as much that we would see some from JBL, from LG, from Sony. LG and Sony we don't know about yet, but this is the JBL Link View for $250. It's shipping September 3rd. And as you can see, it's almost, I think that they're pointing out that it's more of a design towards better sound, especially when you compare it to the Lenovo smart display. This has the two speakers on the side. And I can't tell from this picture how deep it goes, but, it's not as pretty looking.
I kind of want that to be battery powered so I can like ghetto blaster it, you know, with a screen. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We're all dating ourselves right now.
Yeah, right.
I think, yeah.
The kids are like, what?
Kids are like, what are you talking about?
Break out a cardboard box and do the worm, maybe.
The worm.
What do you think, Phil? Well, you did a video on the Lenovo smart display. So first, let us know kind of what your thoughts were on that. And do you think, are you intrigued by the differences between that and this?
Yeah, I mean, if you have one big complaint about Lenovo's iteration of it, it's the speaker's just okay. Like if I'm cooking, you know, in the kitchen and something's on, fine. But it's not something I'm going to listen to and be like, damn, that sounds nice. So in JBL being known for sound, it makes more sense. It makes more sense from a brand perspective. It makes more sense just from a product perspective. You say, here's this thing. And oh, by the way, it also sounds good. And I go back and forth on how much I actually use the display. I think having a display is great. I think it's a really nice option. Is it a must have? It depends on what you're doing. Do we have the price in the JBL yet?
$250.
$250? Yeah, you know, that's and especially if you see it on sale at some point, that's not horrible for better audio quality.
Better audio quality. It looks, I didn't look this up, it looks like a smaller display. Like, I doubt that display was 10 inches. Like the,
probably not, no.
Yeah, so you end up sacrificing kind of the screen size for that extra speaker. One question I have for you, Phil. Because you have kids, I don't know if this is a consideration for you or not. I'm taking the Lenovo smart display home tonight to live with it for a little bit. But I'm worried that it has always accessible YouTube on it because my 5 and 8 year olds will not be able to, you know, once they realize that, they're not going to be able to hold themselves back. Is there any way to deactivate?
That is an interesting question. I'll have to look. There might be. Okay. I mean, it would be the same as any other display, I think, in the Google Home. I'll have to look. It's a good question. Mine haven't actually discovered that part yet, just because they come out here in the living room instead and just watch on the big TV. So,
I mean, I can just so see them, especially once YouTube Music starts integrating and moves away from Google Play Music. Like, I'd say 90% of their interaction is all music, and it's from our Play Music catalog. So once that switches to YouTube Music, I could totally see one of these being like, and if there's a music video for the song you're playing, it plays the video. I'm like, no, 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 no. no. That's a vector that I do not want to open.
Just FYI, real quick, this is an 8-inch display.
8-inch display. Thank you. All right. So, nice. So for $250, you get the smaller display size from the Lenovo that costs
$200. But it looks like it might have stereo speakers. I don't know if the... Does the Lenovo have stereo speakers?
I don't believe so. No.
This looks like two speakers, right?
Yeah, so I think that's what you're paying for.
You're paying for the JBL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes looks sense. Nice. I don't know. This is cool. I don't have one yet. I should get a review and try it out. I think to me, they're kind of like photo frame meets a smart speaker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, bloop.
Instead of having three different things in your space to do these things, put it into one.
Yeah.
Be happy. All right. We don't have many app stories. In fact, it's kind of a story we talked about a little bit last week, but there are developments. Let's jump into apps real quick. I included it again because A, we have an official word on it, and B, I'm really curious to hear what your guys' opinion is on this. Epic Games has confirmed that it plans to bypass the Play Store with the release of Fortnite for Android. No release date yet, although many of the rumors are pointing to this being exclusive on the Samsung Galaxy Note 9, which will the event is this Thursday, by the way, 8 a.m. Pacific. You can tune into twit.tv/live and watch me and Flo with the event. That aside, Fortnite.com is where you're going to go, apparently, in order to get the game on your Android device, probably only a Note 9 in the beginning. There you will download the Fortnite launcher when it's available. That will install the game on the device. In order to do this, you would have to check the unknown sources dialogue in your settings and lower the security on your device. Epic did not mention it had anything to do specifically with the 30% cut that Google takes on apps in the Play Store. One could imagine that it does. of course it does. But they did say that gamers will benefit from competition among software sources and the best will succeed based on merit. Of course they can say that. Everybody loves Fortnite. So they know they've got a winner on their hands. And then they say that it's going to launch this summer, but we know the rumor. So what do you guys think? Phil, we'll start with you. Do you think this is a good idea? Maybe it's a good idea for Epic. Is it a good idea for everyone?
Look, at least it's not the Turing phone.
All right, touche.
Having users flip the unknown sources switch is a bad idea on principle, but it's not unprecedented. Go back and look at the Amazon App Store when it first came out.
Sure.
What really bothers me here, and I need to go back and read about it some more, and we'll have to ultimately see what happens, but if you actually have to install a launcher just to get this game, that's going to give this game a lot more permissions and a lot more access than any normal game should have. That worries me a lot. Because that gets pretty deep into seeing, here's everything else that's on my phone. Here's how much I use everything else on my phone. I mean, I have worries. I have concerns.
But this is Epic. They wouldn't do that, right? They wouldn't slurp up all your data and have other ideas for it.
Trust no one.
We don't know.
What do you think, Mir?
I mean, I'm torn. I mean, I worked in video games. I can understand that. I absolutely do think the 30% has something to do with it. All I can think of right now is that Apple is laughing their heads off because they would never let that happen on their platform. And Google is probably going, why did we let that happen? I mean,
I guess
then,
in this case they are. Yeah.
Back then it made sense. But I mean, look, the reality is this is a security issue. And it's not Epic I'm worried about. I don't think Epic is going to do it wrong. What I'm worried about is what's happening on PCs all the time. You go to navigate to a website, you see a banner that says download Fortnite.
Right.
And you click on it, and you don't think it's Epic. You think it's Epic, you don't know it's not Epic, it's spoofing, boom, you download an APK, now you're SOL.
So Google has their protection mechanisms embedded into Android where they can check the integrity of APKs that are being installed. Well, do you think...
How many people on the latest security patch and how many people are running up-to-date version of Android?
Sure.
Think about the millions of people who want to install Fortnite and play.
No doubt. And no question.
Remember, they're starting to insert flags basically between the developer and you. So that they can tell where these apps came from. And they've been able to tell for a long time if an app's been sideloaded or not. But they're going to be able to see, I think, a little bit deeper than that. So it's the next few years are going to get really interesting in that space. I worry about it today, but these guys are thinking about it, you know, 3, 5, 10 years out.
Interesting. All right. Well, we probably don't have to wait very long to find out about this. I think this Thursday, I'm guessing that's one of Samsung's one more things. Or it's a big driver for the, according to rumors.
It's good to be in a position that Epic is in where the game is so successful that they can kind of bypass the App Store for money. For them, it's worth it. As an ex-game developer, I get it. I see where they're coming from. They want to be in control. Like Valve is in control of their world, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that it's a bit of a dick move because it's like it's kind of a security issue and it breaks the system.
Yeah,
it breaks the system in a way that it could put some people in real trouble, and that's my concern with it.
Yeah, someone I can't remember because it passed by in chat brought up the point that and you did, Phil, about Amazon, but also was it the Humble Bundle in order to install those? I mean, there are other examples of this. I think the difference here is the massive scale that is Fortnite, like of what to expect as far and the age of a lot of the players, right? You imagine we're talking about younger players. So maybe to a certain extent, they're going to be less inclined to pay close attention to what it means to uncheck the unknown sources, or when they go to a website and it offers a Fortnite download, to really scrutinize that and understand that their phone is less secure because of that option.
Hopefully. I mean, you know, maybe nothing bad will happen.
Maybe nothing bad will happen. That's right.
But maybe there will. You know, that's the problem.
I've got an idea. Something might happen, but something might not happen.
That's right.
It's true. Think about it. All right, let's jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Android Arena. twit.to/AAApoll 380 was where you went to place your vote last week. And of course, as is usually the case, the guest, aka Matteo Doni, wins Goat Evolution 35%. I mean, this guy's going to come to the arena with a Goat app or game for the rest of his life, for as long as All About Android is a show, and he's going to continue to win every time. It's a brilliant strategy. It's really worked out well for you, Matteo. And it's worked out well for both of you two joining me on the show today, because you are part of the grand guest category that is dominating right now. So Goat Evolution wins 35%. Android P Rotation, that was my app, second place at 30%. Automate, 23%. That was Flow, I believe. And You Know Me, fourth place, 12%. That was Ron. I could have those backwards. Oh, you know what? I do have those backwards. Automate was Ron, and then You Know Me was Flow. Well, one of those was right, so I guess I got it right either way. Okay, so this week, I will go ahead and start to kind of get the ball rolling, and then we'll go Miriam, and then we'll go Phil. Phil, I have your app installed, so I can, but I can't really show off much of it. We'll do what the best that we can, but I'll start off here with my app. So I'm not sure where along the line I came across this. This app for me personally is a work in progress as far as what it promises and what it delivers. It's called Ground, verified news from the source. And the idea with Ground is that, you know, there's a lot of news happening all over the world. And, you know, we put a lot of trust in the news outlets, let's say, or you know, wherever this news is being sourced, all that sort of stuff. Ground is all about trying to tap into the people who are on the ground in the areas that the news is breaking from. The problem is I haven't found very much interaction in that regard. It seems like it's kind of early. It seems like this app needs a little bit of runway to gain users and really get that interactivity. I really like the concept, though, right? We'll just tap into here. Elon Musk says he wants to take Tesla private. Palo Alto, Reuters, 4 hours ago. It shows you where on a map that story appears based on that information, as you zoom in, you start to see where all these other news points are happening. If I tapped into here, well, I guess I could flag it to hold on to it. If I tapped into here, it would then tell me there are 8 people on the ground in Palo Alto, United States. And this would start kind of the conversation if there was a lot of activity here. Someone who was there, you know, might drop a comment and say, actually, I saw Elon at a coffee shop and he said this isn't happening, or I don't know what the case may be. But you get kind of some interesting insight into the news sources that are reporting on this. So this is one way to kind of check out the different news sources that are diving into this particular story. And then I think the bigger promise is that comments from the people that are actually there will help add extra context to this. Ford brings exosuits to workers in 15 factories, Dearborn, Michigan, on the drive. So we'll go in there. There are 5 people on the ground. And again, there's just not very much interactivity on this right now. But there's something about the concept that I really like. I like the idea, you know, of getting the community involved, or being able to ask someone that's there, you know, this big news. Maybe there's a significant world event, like a volcano erupts or whatever the case may be. And reading a story and then being able to connect with someone there and be like, did this really happen that way? Yeah, or what do you have to say about this? And then they add a little bit of extra context. And I think that's the promise of Ground. Like I said, I'm not sure that they're necessarily delivering on that right now. I think they need to build up their user base to really make this a little bit more interactive and engaging. But I like where they've started. And, you know, the design's not bad. It looks pretty good. It's just an interesting new way to kind of contextualize information from news. So,
absolutely.
So that is Ground, verified news from the source. Check it out. It is free. Ooh. All right, Miriam, you are up.
Yes, I don't know if you can bring this up here. There we go. So I've got an app here. It's a music player. As you can see, there's a Childish Gambino album playing. It's not playing right now, but this is called a Bubble UPnP, and it's a UPnP DLNA compatible player. So I have a bunch of devices in my home where I can't easily play to them because they don't support Chromecast. They don't appear in my Google Play Music app as a valid playback syncs, like renderers. And and basically it's like I can't really use these. And also I also have Chromecast devices on which I can play, and some AirPlay devices. This supports everything. So right now, unfortunately, I'm on your Wi-Fi network and I didn't find any UPnP or DLNA devices to render to.
Oh, wow. You think somewhere in this place we'd have those.
They would appear here. Local render is obviously the built-in speaker. But it's very cool. It's free and you can use it out of the box and it supports everything. The best part is that, yes, you can, you know, go to your media, music, albums, and et cetera. So local storage, but you can also go to cloud and have Google Music. So you can actually go to your entire music library on Google Play Music if you allow it to access it. So if you have a UPnP or DLNA device, DLNA, that's it, yeah, that you want to play your Google Play Music library to instead of Chromecast, you can use this app. Very, very cool. So for me, you remember the Devialet speaker that I reviewed for back in the days when we did the review show?
Mm-hmm. You buy.
Before you buy.
Yep.
I reviewed it on there, and it basically is a UPnP renderer, and I can play Google Play Music on the Devialet that way.
Oh, okay.
Without having to worry about Bluetooth or whatever. So that's why I got this app. Now, I've got the free app, but you can unlock more functionality by paying, I think, like, I don't know what it is, $6.99. It's a pretty reasonable amount. Maybe it's in, if somebody's in the Play Store, they can have a quick look. But I tried a bunch of different ones of these. There's a whole bunch of free ones, but this is the only one that I found that had Google Play Music integration. And you saw all the different services it supports. You know, does Google Drive, Google Photos integration, Dropbox integration, Box, OneDrive, Amazon Cloud Drive, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
set of support. So if you have, like, it also works with photos and videos and whatever else you want. So that's my app, Bubble UPnP. Check it out.
Bubble up and pee.
That's right.
Bubble up and pie.
Exactly.
Maybe. No, that doesn't work. Okay, Bubble UPnP.
Yep.
All right. And if there's a lot of UPnP apps out there, but if you're doing a search for that, search for Bubblesoft, and you will find it. Is the developer. All right, Phil, it's time for your app. I installed it, but I don't have any data driven into it, so it's hard for me to show off the app itself. But you have a video of this, so we have that linked, and you can use that for some B-roll, Josh. But Phil, take it away. Tell us about your app of the week.
So yeah, I tend to forget I even have this. There's a company called Automatic, and it's a little adapter that plugs into the diagnostic port on your car. And from there, it tracks all sorts of stuff. There are a couple of versions of it. I'm using the pro version. I think I saw it on sale for like $80 or something the other day. And it's got a little 3G radio in it. So it takes your location, you know, your speed, your acceleration, your deceleration, how hard you're driving, and feeds all that in. And you get just a whole bunch of really interesting data out of it. If you have the pro version, it also tracks your car in real time. So if you have kids and you're worried about where they're going, or if your car tends to get stolen a lot, which might or might not happen to people, I don't know, you can track your car that way. So it's just a really cool one-time fee for this thing. The app is free, obviously, when you buy the hardware, too. So it's not inexpensive. If you drive for business, really awesome for that. Yeah. So it just ties right in, and you can automatically, you know, expense stuff. It has if this then that integration, so you can, you know, tie it into there. Pebble. Nest, obviously. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty powerful thing, and you get all this really cool visualization of your data. You can do it'll do sort of a time lapse based on Google Maps. So it'll take the street view and along, you know, your trip and where you went, and sort of artificially make a video of where you went. It's just a really neat kind of fun thing. It's not inexpensive at $100, but at the same time, it's just been really cool. You can track your fill ups. So those of us who still drive cars that use gasoline, we can, you know, keep track of our mileage that way. So just really neat, interesting little look at how much you drive and how you drive.
Yeah. So I should mention that Automatic was a sponsor on the Twit Network a few years ago. And I used it for quite a while. And one of the things that I really thought was really eye-opening and interesting in it was putting a value on the amount of money you spend per gas for down to a trip. So just to drive to the gas station, you know, and it can show you like how much in gas that cost you to drive to the gas station. It was really eye-opening. It makes you kind of think about gas in a different way. And that's just one of the many features of tapping into this port, how you can use that data that's streaming in. You have full access to. You just need a hardware device to tap into it. That's what Automatic does and brings in the app for context.
I need to try that with my Tesla.
Yeah, you should.
I wonder if it works.
And there are a whole bunch of other versions of this, like all the carriers have their own sort of branded model of this. I like this because it's outside of that. Those were all the trips that I'd taken, and they overlaid them on cities. So like if I'm driving around my city, that's how much of San Francisco I'd be driving.
You took a trip out to the ocean there.
I know, right?
Heck yeah,
New York. There.
I'd be disappointed if you out into the middle of the ocean. You drove into the
wow.
Alabama's there on the left. Yeah.
Right on. So that is Automatic. And I can also tell like they did a visual refresh on it since the last time that I used the app. They've kind of upgraded the look and feel.
A good almost a year and a half ago, too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it looks nice. Automatic will tell you everything that you need to know about your driving. And maybe you don't want to know about how well you're driving. But anyways, it's probably a good idea to tap into that information and put it to work. You might as well. It's there. So might as well do it. All right. I'm creating the short URL right now. twit.to/AAApoll381 will take you to the poll for today's episode. twit.to/AAApoll381 is your favorite app, Ground, Bubble, UPMP, or Automatic. You can place your vote, and we'll check in on it next week and see where we land. I have a feeling guests are the odds are stacked very heavily towards guest right now. It's the gulf is only going to widen. Mac and Josh, did you vote for Ground?
I just did.
Yes,
I did.
I paid him to do that. Thank you. I paid too much.
Well, I'm partial to news.
Oh, yeah. Mac and Josh does like his news. Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week. And that, as they say, is a show. We've reached the end. And I'm so happy that, that both of you could come on tonight, because this has been a lot of fun. Thanks to you both for being on for a pretty important episode. You know, Android Pie is a big deal.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Modern Dad, why don't we start with you? When you're not rocking out on those guitars behind you, what do you want people to know about you and what you're up to?
I'm kind of all over the place. We're still doing the Modern Dad thing, moderndad.com, or just go to youtube.com/moderndad. We got that. We have also started up a new little side project called cordcutters.com for everybody getting rid of cable TV and switching to all streaming. And so we're having a little fun with that as well. And that's my day job. That's what I'm doing.
Right on. Busy, busy. Love it. Well, thank you, Phil. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
All right. And then Miriam, Tank Girl, what do you want people to know? Mobile Tech Podcast,
yeah,
of course.
So the podcast obviously is a weekly thing. It's an audio, not live, but that's the best I can do with all the traveling I do. MobileTechPodcast.com. We're on iTunes. That's Apple Podcasts. We're Google Podcasts. We're on Pocket Cast, Overcast, Slacker, Stitcher. TuneIn Radio. It turns out when I got my Tesla, I went on TuneIn Radio. I typed in my podcast, and boom, there
it
was.
You were there. You didn't even have to do anything for it.
Not that I'm narcissistic enough to listen to my own podcast.
But I did.
That was weird.
And it was awesome.
I mean, it was weird. I just tried it out. It was awesome. It was there. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't yet. And I always have a guest from the media or from some tech company. Also, my YouTube channel, Miriam Joire. So it's youtube.com/Miriam Joire, spelled out like you see on the screen, for a complimentary content to the podcast. Videos, unboxings, hands-ons, quirky stuff. And then Instagram and Tank Girl, and Instagram and Twitter, Tank Girl on Twitter. The other thing, if I can take a second, I would like to point out, since you have a very big audience, that I am actually looking at, kind of pivoting my day job, which is currently consulting. And I'm looking at actually getting back into media. So if you guys are watching this and you're looking for a senior person to join your media empire, hit me up. The other thing that I can do, if you're not into me being a journalist, is PR and marketing. So there you go. I'll just put it out there.
There you go. And if people want to reach out to you, just find you on Twitter.
TankGirl@gmail.
Okay.
Yeah, TankGirl@gmail.com. Or you can direct message me on Twitter, maybe add me first. But probably Gmail's best.
Yeah, right on. Cool.
There you go.
Miriam, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
This was fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great times.
Thanks to Mac and Josh for filling in for Victor. Victor was missed, but Mac and Josh, you did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any final words for you?
Just you can check out my little side podcast, too, Meeting Famous People.
Yes, please do.
MeetingFamousPeople.com is the URL for that. And also follow me on Twitter and Instagram, The Mac and Josh. TheMacin Josh.
They accept no substitutes.
Right. The.
That's right. Well, thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. You can find me all over the Twit Network, yellowgoldmusic.com for music, for tech here on Twit. Real quick, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm going to. Best ofs. Okay, it's the middle of the year. I get it. It's never too early to start because we have to compile this stuff. And I'm not doing the same type of best of this holiday season as I did in the past, where it's like 150 clips. The last one, as awesome as it was pulling the clips and everything, it was just too long. And I felt so bad for everyone who had their hands in that editing and everything. So we're going to do it a little bit differently. But just a general standing rule, twit.tv/best of. If there's a moment that happens and you're like, oh, I'd love to see that in the end of year clip show, please let me know, because it'll make my job a heck of a lot easier and it'll take you a few seconds. The more information you have, the better, and I appreciate it. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. You can find a full apps list from the arena at twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at the most important link on the web for this show, twit.tv/AAA. And there you'll find all the information, information on the live show when we record every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. And I think that's about it. I'm going to stop it there. Enjoy your pie, everyone. We'll see you next week in another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All right, so because this plays at the end of the episode and not actually... Well, let me step back. Because this is going to play at the end of the episode after the big reveal has already happened, this will make a lot of sense to those who download. But today, courtesy of Burke, and actually I think Effin Dunn was the person that had the idea for this, and then Burke made it happen. Suddenly in the freezer appeared an Oreo ice cream cake, which is not quite a pie, but, you know, it's close enough. Close enough. Look, we do what we can, and you do well. It's not like I'm going to refuse an ice cream cake, an Oreo ice cream cake. Oh boy, but there is a crumb factor here for sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it does look like a pie to me. I don't know. What do you think? Ice cream cake or pie?
Ice cream pie. Ice cream pie.
It looks like pie. Oh no, my keyboard's getting all Oreo'd. This is a bad idea, Burke.
Yeah, this looks pretty lethal.
All right. I'm just gonna tear in and hope that I live. Normally we keep these things hanging out on the counter, the cookies, until the next day and people eat them. I don't think that's gonna happen here.
I think you should not do that on the cardboard. You're gonna get more crumbs.
I don't know what to do. If I do it on the table, it's gonna get.
I would know because I'm just bossy.
Here. No, I'm going to do this because I'm almost done. Okay. We got things to do. We got things. Little hand, get away. We got little things to do that don't involve you, little hand. Oh, you guys, this is a horrible idea.
Touch it with the hand.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to hand this off.
We know, and that's what we're worried about.
Cake or pie or whatever you are. Get off the knife. All right, there you go.
Whoa.
You don't have to eat the whole thing. In fact, I don't think we have time to eat the whole thing. I'm going to give it to you.
It's already, look, you already made an extra mess on the table. It's a totally disaster.
But it's not quite as messy as it would have been.
Okay, I'm going to try it right now, live on television.
Yep,
you try that,
and then prepare yourself with a rating, because we're going to have to rate
this. It's ice cream, isn't it?
It is. Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do ice cream?
Mm-hmm. It tastes exactly like Oreo.
Okay.
Mm. It doesn't taste like pie for
all right. Whew. I survived. That was really stressful.
Mm.
This is for little hands and anyone else who would like some. This table is very messy. All right, let's do this. Oreo, I like to call it a pie.
Big hands.
It doesn't taste like pie,
Big
Jason.
Big hands are taking it.
It tastes like Oreo, right? Not pie.
This water is delicious.
Can we telepathically send some to...
No, throw it across. Am I facing the right way?
No, you're facing the wrong way.
No? All right, there we go.
Here, I'll feed you a bite. Here you go. There you go. Yeah, how was that? How was that, Phil?
Nobody's going to Photoshop that at all, I'm sure.
No. No, please don't. Please take it easy. This is really good. If it was my birthday, or even if it was just a Tuesday, I would get one of these and I would eat at least a slice of the Oreo ice cream pie. I'm not sure I could eat more than that, though, because it's really sweet.
A slice of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So?
I love it when my email on my laptop and my email on my phone are not synchronized, yet they're Gmail, both of them.
That's weird.
That is weird.
If you had to give the Oreo pie, ice cream pie, a score, what would you give it, Miriam?
Meh.
One to ten.
I think it's like a 7. It tastes really like something you'd buy at Safeway.
Let's be honest. That's probably where it was bought.
It's not really like something you buy at Whole Foods or Harvest or New Seasons or, you know, it doesn't have that hippie cachet. It's not like something you'd get at Petaluma Market.
It's not an organic Oreo ice cream pie.
Correct. Definitely not organic.
We probably just killed ourselves. At least took a year off.
Like, there's probably radon in there.
Probably. It's delicious radon. Yeah, I'd probably give it a 7.
7.
Also.
I mean,
it's not
really
bad. It
tastes like
good.
Oreos.
Yeah, it does. Which, thankfully, it's covered in it.
I mean, it qualifies technically as a pie, but...
Right.
I think it's not a good transition between Oreo and pie. I hate to say it.
Well, you know, we did the best that we can to bridge the gap.
I'm totally going to step on this when I get up. This is going to be great.
All right. I'm sorry that we couldn't ship you an ice cream pie, Phil.
That's okay.
Next time, we'll totally do that.